Hey, Wingman Nation. Welcome to the Wingman Men's Moment Podcast. This is your host, John Delaney. Happy New Year to all of you listeners. We are hanging at the hangar here in beautiful Lakeland, Florida, and I'm here with Wingman co-founders Randy Ferrer and Pastor Jay Dennis. Happy New Year, gents.
Happy New Morning. Year, John.
Happy New Year.
It's a beautiful day here in Central Florida. There's a little crispness in the air.
Yes, there is.
And it feels so crisp. It's just a little crisp. Yes. Well, we're excited to be bringing you a pretty neat little, I think it's a great way to start the new year. Yeah. And it's biblical. And we're going to be talking this week and next about setting goals. We'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. And I think this is a great way to approach the new year. Do you guys agree?
We do agree.
Well, good, because that's what we're doing today.
We are. Don't agree, too bad.
Randy, take it away, brother.
Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Jay.
Good to see you, buddy.
You too, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you,
friend. Setting goals, Philippians 3, 7 through 14 is the verse we're referencing, and as we approach the new year, it's important to think about goals. You know, people always got to go, oh, I got to lose 20 pounds, I want to do this, I want to, but you know, what are your goals for 2024? We want to show you the importance of setting goals, because Paul shows us how to do that in the Bible.
He sure does.
You know, goal setting is great, and we want to do that, but we also want to set goals in life as well as spiritual goals and goals and things we want to do for the Lord. So I'm going to read Philippians 3, 7 through 14, and here we go. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Now that I've already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Sorry, that was long, but effective.
It's packed with information about setting goals, for sure.
Yeah, so let's unpack that a little bit. So the Apostle Paul had goals. From this passage in Philippians, we discovered how we can incorporate goals in our lives. Notice one word in Philippians 3:14, goal. It refers to a target for shooting, a goal. Here it is, a moral and spiritual target. What is your target? It doesn't matter your circumstance right now. Paul was in prison in Rome when he shared these goals. That just continues to amaze me.
It does me too. I mean, imagine here he is in the worst of circumstances, yet he is saying, you know what, things are going to get better and I'm going to set goals. I'm going to be looking for the future. I'm not going to be caught up with my circumstances in the present.
Yeah.
I'm pressing on.
Pressing on. I mean, the ultimate optimist there.
He really is.
But that's because he had God, and he knew God was going to take care of him regardless of his circumstance.
And I think that's a good distinction, too, between a goal and a resolution. A resolution just seems to be something that people, secular people even, will, you know, do at the first of the year. But a goal is more biblically oriented. Goal says, with God's help, with God's power, I'm going to look at the future and I'm going to begin to dream and put some deadlines with those dreams.
And put some thoughts and prayers and, you know, something that we're going to accomplish with God's help. So
that's right.
So goal, according to Mr. Webster in the dictionary, is the end toward which effort is directed.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Yes. So you're giving that effort in the means to an end to achieve that.
Right.
And Diana Scharf Hunt said, goals are dreams with deadlines.
Yeah.
I love that definition.
That's so good.
Goals are dreams with deadlines.
Really good.
And goals keeps us excited, guys. Yeah. You know, they keep us moving forward. We have something to that, you know, drives us. They help us to overcome short-term setbacks even. Mm-hmm. They keep us dependent on God, and we need to make sure we're using and utilizing prayer and God's help.
That's right.
And as Charles Stanley said, goals establish priorities in our lives.
They really do.
They're so very, very different. Important. Yeah, they're so different than just the resolution.
Right. Keeps us on track. Yeah.
Yeah, and a goal is not, I want to make another 10,000 this year so I can, you know, buy.
How am I going to do that?
Right.
Yeah, the goal is setting realistic, prayerfully considered things you want to achieve and dream about in your life for you, for your family, for the Lord, and you work at those by setting deadlines and having a specific outline to do that.
That's the word specific. So smart goals.
Right.
Specific, measurable,
attainable.
Attainable.
Time defined.
Yep.
Achievable is another
achievable,
one.
Achievable, yes.
Set goals that aren't achievable, and then you become, you know, depressed that you didn't hit your goal. So
yes.
So in Do Right with Lou Holtz, when he was coach at Notre Dame, Lou Holtz said this: "I'm a firm believer in goals. Take a good look at me. You'll notice I stand 5'10", weigh 152 pounds, wear glasses, speak with a lisp, and have a physique that appears like I've been afflicted with scurvy most of my life."
Eat a cheeseburger, Lou.
Lou Holtz. "The only reasons why I can't stand up as head football coach at the University of Notre Dame are this. I have a great wife. I'm sorry, let me reread it. The only reasons why I can stand up as head football coach at the University of Notre Dame are this. I have a great wife, and I am a very goal-oriented person."
Amen. And I know each one of us around this table could say that same thing. We have great wives, and we all set goals.
I'm not 5'10 and 152 pounds, though. So.
Well, it's a goal.
I don't ever want to be that skinny. I think I was in first year of college when I weighed 152 pounds.
My things change as we age. Goodness. Dorothy Brandt said, "At this very moment, you are who you are and where you are because of what you've allowed to inhabit your goal box." Mm. Nice. "And as a Christian, we believe our goal should be God-sized." We all love Theodore Roosevelt, and he said, "Do what you can with what you have where you are." Mm-hmm. That is so profound to me. Profound. Do what you can with what you have and where you are. You know, I hear people say you can be anything you want to be. Well, you know what? You can be a lot of things, but I'm not sure you can be anything you want to be.
No.
You know, but you can strive to be the best that you are with what God has given you in your setting, for sure. So Paul gives us these 10 principles on setting goals. We'll get to 4 of these today, and then in our next podcast, we'll get to the rest of them. But number one is, write your goals down. Mm-hmm. Things will begin to happen if you write down your goals. I tell you, that has been true in my life through the years. Mm-hmm. Brian Tracy, author of The Psychology of Achievement, says, according to the best results of research, less than 3% of Americans have written goals. Psychologists have discovered commitment to a written goal is 3 times as high as a commitment to a goal that we have only in our head. Mm. So in 1954, a survey was made of individuals graduating from Yale University. Yule. That's a Christmas word. Yale University.
They're a bunch of Santa Clauses.
Yeah, exactly. It was found that only 3% had definite written financial goals. 10% had a clear idea but had not written it down. 87% had no idea of their goals. 20 years later, these Yale graduates were again interviewed. The 3% who had written goals had made more money than all the rest combined. And I realize you can't measure everything in money, but that is a tangible, measurable result of a goal that they set. And with Paul, we identify that he had 5 written goals. Here they are. Number one, I will believe God no matter what. Paul had suffered for the sake of Christ, yet he chose to believe God and believe his word no matter what happened to him. Philippians 3, 7 through 9, he talks about whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. One translation uses the term rubbish instead of garbage. Paul said that anything not of God is rubbish. The strongest possible word for waste or dung is what he used there. And the word value means something of incomparable worth. What Paul treasured the most was knowing Jesus and believing God. It was a continuous confession of total dependence on and trust in Jesus Christ. He resolved to trust God no matter what the circumstances. He resolved to choose to believe God's word and not his feelings. And guys, if we can ever get to that point of, I'm not going to go on my feelings, I'm not going to go just on other people's opinions, I'm going to go with what God said.
Right. And in order to do that, if you believe God no matter what, you have to study God's word
so
that you can know when he is speaking and know whether it's him or your feelings.
Right. And it, that's the best way he speaks to us is through his word.
That's right. And number two that Paul said was, I will experience God, which also goes along the same lines. That, you know, there's a word in Philippians 3, 8, and 10 that tells us this. The word know, as it relates to Jesus, means to know by experience, not just know in your mind. So
that's a good distinction, too. You can know about Jesus, but knowing Jesus is far different.
Yes,
it's a head knowledge versus a heart matter.
It's a, you know, it's a personal involvement too with Jesus and continually trying to experiencing him all along, you know.
Right.
He would put himself in a position for God to speak to him. So that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Put ourselves in a position so God can speak to us. Well, what does that mean? Quiet time, study time, be around other Christian brothers who can, you know, that you know and trust that are godly guys, that when they speak, God may be using them to speak to you.
Right.
And there's various ways, which is another whole podcast, but getting ourselves in that position to know that it's really God speaking.
That's right.
Do a podcast on quiet time alone.
You could.
You know, there's so much noise in our world. So, you know, last night before you guys went, before we actually started the men's group, I went in the sanctuary at the church, and there was no one in there, and the lights were all down.
Quiet.
And I just sat there for 5 minutes, and it was really, it was a special little time there. You know, it was like, it was great.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, the quiet, you need it.
Yes.
You know?
So number three is, I will not get satisfied, you know, meaning, you know, Philippians 3:12 talks about, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You know, so Paul kind of said, I'll never reach the point of being satisfied with where I am spiritually.
Right.
So, you know, if you're thinking, well, I'll never be that kind of a Christian, I'll never achieve. We're never there, guys. We're always learning.
Right.
And like, it's, you know, you're at where you're at.
That's
and
right.
And just understand that you always need and want to grow more and to learn more. And where you are is where you are, and that's okay. But keep that drive burning. Keep moving forward, you know. Paul refused the status quo, which we need to do that too. He refused to be the average Christian and have that average Christian label.
Yeah.
He would never get comfortable or complacent in his walk with God. That's just, you know, he wanted to constantly grow and learn.
He did.
You know, so little story, a man had had difficulty with his memory, so he went to a doctor. The doctor said, the only way we can help your memory is to impair your eyesight. which do you want to retain, your eyesight or your memory? The man answered, don't take away my sight. I'd rather see where I'm going than remember where I've been.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Me too. And, you know, if we gaze at the rearview mirror too long, I mean, we'll crash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We will crash. So you glance at the rearview mirror. That's and you right. think about, okay, that happened, but you gaze out the front windshield.
Well, that's why the front windshield is so much bigger than rearview mirror.
Good point. Excellent point, brother.
Mm. You want to see more where you're going and less
right.
where you've been.
Good.
So, number four, I will not allow the past to enslave me, which is kind of what we were talking about mm-hmm. with the rearview mirror. You know, forgetting what lies ahead is Philippians 3:13. The word forgetting doesn't mean that he never remembered his past. That's not possible.
No.
It does mean that you no longer allow it to control you and influence you.
Mm.
He broke the power of the past by constantly turning the past over to God.
And you think about his past, all the Christians that he had killed before he came to know Jesus Christ,
amazing.
And the persecution that he ensued upon Christians. And so his past was not a good past.
No.
But yet he said, I'm not letting that control me anymore. I'm gonna press forward. I'm gonna look out to see what God can do. And that's a good word to the guys listening right now.
It is, and think about that. If you study what Paul was before mm-hmm. he became the man of God, what he did was far worse than anything any of us have done
That's
in our life in this time.
Yes.
I don't care who you are, what you've done. You've not done what Paul did.
That's right.
And Paul became, you know, one of the greatest soldiers for the Lord and, you know, and
wrote most of the New Testament.
Exactly. And God used him mightily and continued to use him through his word. So don't let the past enslave you anymore.
And those are good, good words.
Quit looking in the rearview mirror.
That's it. That's it. Number five, he said, I will press on. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
And that will be the start of our next podcast.
That's exactly right. So let's...
I will press on.
I will press on. Exactly. So this is the picture here of a runner straining every nerve and muscle as he keeps on running. It speaks of making progress. It pictures excitement, anticipation, fervor. It's looking forward to the future, continually pursuing what God has up ahead for us. So write down your goals. That's the message from that.
Yes.
Write down your goals.
Write down your goals.
That was number one.
All right.
Number two is be specific in your goals. Notice what Paul's goals, that they're not general. They're specific. If you are vague about what you want to do in your life, you won't know when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
All Christians should have as their goal to be like Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Think about John F. Kennedy. He demonstrated this when he said, I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal of putting a man on the moon before this decade is out, May 25th, 1961.
Mm.
And what happened? Mm. That goal was reached. That which seemed impossible became real because it became a definite goal.
July 20th, 1969.
Amazing. Amazing. However, each of us is in a different setting with different gifts and different opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take where you are, your world, and set specific goals that God is placing on your heart. Pray about them. Ask God to place his goals on your heart.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And number three, make your goals measurable. We talked about this earlier. The goals mm-hmm. Paul set were measurable. He knew when they were met. He could chart his progress. He could see what he needed to work on. We need to do that. This is how, this is the how factor, mm-hmm. guys. How am I going to accomplish these goals? Have a game plan, such as I will read the Bible through in a year. I will lose 10 pounds by exercising 3 times a week. I will fast on a regular basis on Thursday afternoons, so to speak. So
yes.
I will go out on a date with my wife once a week on Fridays or Tuesdays.
Yes.
Pick that specific time. And I will give 10% of my income to God and save 10%
yes.
every time I get my paycheck.
Those are measurable goals.
That's right. Number four, be sure your goals are God-sized. Always involve yourself with something that's bigger than you are, because that's where God is. Every great success was at the beginning. Impossible. It was just impossible.
That's right.
John Mason said that. Make big plans for God. Expect great power from God. Make your goals so God-sized that unless he gets involved and he pulls it off, they are destined to fail. Get yourself out on the limb for God.
That's a truth.
Yeah. God, you know, Paul's goals were to change the world, which, as you can see, he surely did.
He did.
So, you know, you need goals that you can cannot manipulate, right, orchestrate on your own to accomplish. You know, and that means you daily have to look to God, which is part of you getting closer to God and understanding how he can help you. So you need goals that you cannot pull off without God's help.
Amen. Amen. I've seen what I can do, and it's not very impressive, but I've seen what God can do, and that's always impressive.
That is.
Exactly, which leads us to Philippians 4:13, that, yes, I can do all things through him who gives me strength.
Amen.
Not some things.
All things. Guys, we want you to embrace that today. We're so glad you're listening, and we want you to begin in this new year to set goals for God, for his glory. That's the ultimate motivation, is so that God could be glorified in your life, yes, in your walk, in your marriage, in your family.
Amen.
And we encourage you to do just that. Well, happy new year to you, and next week you're going to be hearing the second part of this on setting goals. But until next time,
it's a new year, and Wingman out.
The Wingman Men's Moment podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.